Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is being brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP and Patreon members from around the world. If you'd like to help us out, point your browser to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Sign up today. Tell you what you shouldn't do, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, by the way, hi. I'm Steven Schleicher. Welcome to Finally Friday. Finally, Friday. It was high of 80 degrees 2 days ago. And yesterday the high was like 55, 60, something like that. And then today it's 34 in snow. So, welcome to the end of February. 4 years ago we had feet of snow on the ground. And now we can barely get a drizzle out of the sky. It's very frustrating. Let me fix that hat a little bit. Ooh, there we go. Back to me telling you what you shouldn't do. Well, don't ever let me tell you what you shouldn't do, but here are things that you should consider not doing if you have a live stream going on in 20 minutes. So 20 minutes before your live stream, don't try to figure out a way to stream to both Facebook and YouTube at the same time, because it's going to cause problems. And so depending on where you're at and what you're watching and how you're watching, if you're over at our Facebook page, Major Spoilers, there's two events that look like they were live at one point. But those were tests while I was trying to get everything going. Didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. And I kind of had a feeling that we were going to lose the YouTube stream at the same time. So I got to monkey around with that. Maybe, possibly. Over the weekend, if I have a moment. But I mean, I can do it, and a lot of people are doing it. Earlier, if you were following me on Twitter, I said, why the F can you not stream to Facebook and YouTube at the same time? Because if you try, if I use Wirecast, and when you go in and try to create a stream for Facebook, and you try to create a stream for YouTube, it says, oh, Facebook doesn't let you stream to multiple sources simultaneously as part of their terms of service. Stupid Facebook. What are you thinking of, Facebook? Come on. Don't be that way. Don't be that company. But apparently, they don't want you streaming to multiple systems at the same time. So what you have to do, and this is the secret regarding, regardless of what system you're on, whether you're on OBS or Wirecast or something else, is you have to create a generic RMTP stream. And once you create that generic RMTP stream, I think that's what it is, RMTP stream, then you can just plug that into your Facebook and plug that into your YouTube, and supposedly it's supposed to work. But it did not quite do that for me, mainly because I was trying to do this 20 minutes before a live stream. And I had already set up some things and deleted some things, and I think that partly contributed to it. But it can be done. It's a little bit more of a pain in the ass step than maybe you want to deal with. But I think next week we will be out to the Facebook as well as Alpha Geek Radio or Alpha Geek Media, Alpha Geek Video. Thanks to Todd and everyone over there who keeps that going and afloat. And if you're watching, hello. If you're listening, hello. Nice thing I like about the Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video is it streams so nicely on your mobile device. So if you are heading out of work on this Friday, finally, Friday, you can just listen to it in your car, have your phone, connect to your Bluetooth, and away you go. I think that's pretty cool. And then, of course, you've got the Facebook, which has a lot of people following us on our Facebook page. And, of course, you, wonderful people here on our YouTube channel. If you're watching this on our YouTube channel on a replay, I sure wish you could join us for a live show. So you can call in 785-727-1939. That is the number that you want to call. What's going on with you on this Friday? A lot of things going on in the country. I said that my rage level was at 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. That has to do with politics, nothing else. And I think best left not talked about this week. Last time we were together, it was like 2 weeks ago. Sorry about last week. But 2 weeks ago, we had some wonderful call-ins. We had some wonderful discussions And I want to continue that this week as well. 785-727-1939. Of course, there is the chat room live. Hello, chat people. Nicholas is there once again. Albany reached 64 degrees. Had we been up into the 70s again today, I think all it had to do was hit 72 today, it would have broken a record for consecutive days in February with above 70 degrees temperature. The last time that it was set was, oddly, I think they said 2016. That can't be right. And then the time before that, 1976, was the time that it had set consecutive record days like that. So we would have broken those two records in 2017. John is there. Hi, John. Jarmo is there. Hello, Jarmo. I'm at a loss today. I really am. I was thinking that I had some things that I wanted to come in and talk about with you, but this week has been a crazy week of just doing business management stuff, you know, LLC type stuff, getting the final tax stuff together, waiting for a final whatever they send it to you from companies so I can file my taxes so we can see how much Major Spoilers owns. I guess that's one thing I will talk about real quick. A little politics here. Just very, very quickly to show you, I know people don't like taxes, but I personally like the potholes in my highways filled. I like my services that the state is supposed to provide, so I don't mind paying my taxes. But I'm in a little bit of a, and even if you, I guess we didn't release the pre-show for this week's Zach on Film, but earlier this week, the state of Kansas had submitted a tax budget that the governor rejected because he didn't like the fact that they were increasing taxes or wanting to increase some taxes and bring back some taxes that the governor had cut years ago, which got us into a, whatever we're at now, $643 million debt that we're in. I don't mind paying taxes, providing that they're reasonable, that they're being put to good use. One of the things that I have been afforded in the last couple of years is the fact that as an LLC, as a new business, I don't have to pay taxes in the state of Kansas. The company does not. I say the company does not. But I was kind of disappointed that the governor threw out the budget that would have brought back taxes for small business. Now, granted, we don't have a lot of money to operate, but if it's a difference between my state going bankrupt and the state having some money to close that deficit, that gap, I'm okay with paying those taxes. I'm willing to commit my fair share. So I'm a little flustered at our governor, continue to be after all these years. And of course, what's going on nationwide and worldwide, blah, 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 blah. I see Nate is in the chat. Yeah, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society, says John. I agree. And I don't mind. I want to see my kids have services at their school that helps them. Comic books. Let's talk comic books. Any thoughts on Iron Fist? Well, the show hasn't released yet, right? It doesn't come out until March. So we've got a little bit to go on that. So I haven't seen Iron Fist yet. So I'm okay with it from the things that I have seen. And I will watch it when it finally arrives. Isn't it March? I think it's March 7th. Iron Fist Netflix release date. Oh, March 17th. Sorry about that. March 17th. So yes, when it arrives on March 17th, I will queue up and I will watch the heck out of that show. Yeah, music's still playing. It should be a little bit lower. Hopefully it's not competing too much. Is it too much for you? I kind of like the little light music in the background. You can give me a call, 785-727-1939. I'd love to hear from you this week. There were some interesting bits of news that came out over the last couple of days. Kreese, I think is how you say his name. Kreese Williams has set to be to play Black Lightning in the CW's DC drama. Now, Black Lightning, the first black superhero in comics. They were planning on doing this over at, where was it, at Fox. At least that's where they had planned it, and this was still Greg Berlanti's group. But that fell through, and then, of course, the CW picked it up because they're all over everything that Berlanti Productions does. And now they've tapped, I believe, Kreese, C-R-E-S-S Williams, to star as Black Lightning in the drama. If it, I don't think it's got a full series. I think it has a pilot commitment, but we'll see what happens with that in the near future. Let's go to the phone lines and say hello to Jarmo. How are you, man?
Hi, I'm fine. It's been a while.
It has been, but that's okay. What's on your mind this week?
It's nice because there's been lots of new callers lately.
Mm-hmm. I love all the new callers that have been calling in.
Yeah, and yes, the politics and taxes, they are kind of complicated.
Yeah, they are. They are. Yeah, that's why I have an accountant. I have an accountant, and I just take all my paperwork to him, and I put it on his desk and say, please try to minimize, you know, crazy tax stuff that we shouldn't have to pay. And he does a good job. So, but we're happy to pay our fair share.
Yeah, and I'm from Scandinavia, so we pay taxes up the ass. But in exchange, we got free schools.
Yeah.
Actually, you can study up to PhD
wow,
for free.
Nice.
Yeah, and very little healthcare and free babysitters, mm-hmm. which city provides and stuff like that. They are concrete things that I see every day, which taxes pay. So I'm all for the little bit higher than nothing. When I'd see when it's kind of like unfair for the people who are not born in like the silver spoon in their mouths.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What percent? What is your tax percentage rate?
It depends on the income.
Ah, okay.
It's very progressive.
So it's a block tax. So if you make between this much and this much, you pay this percentage, et cetera,
yes,
et cetera.
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Very much. If you are on the lower side, you pay very little. But if you are in the higher side, you pay progressively more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So without giving anything away, what is the percentage that you personally pay?
I pay around 15% from my pay, which is monthly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not too bad. I mean, typically I just assume that a third of my money that I make, regardless of how I make it, but a third of our household income, we generally just set aside for tax purposes.
Well, and, I never expected it to be that much in the United States because that's very much in the higher echelon in our tax rates.
Yeah, once you take out, you know, once you take out the stuff that your job place takes out, once you take out your insurance, and once you take out all the other stuff that you get taxed for, your state and local taxes. As well as your federal tax, it works out most of the time for me to be about 30%.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Yes, and of course, for the business owner, it's a little bit different than an employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. What else is on your mind besides taxes this week? Let's talk something else that's a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Video games been lately, mm-hmm. or pretty much one of them. It's called Yakuza 0.
Ah, Yakuza 0, okay.
Yes, it's the PlayStation 4 game, which released in late January, mm-hmm. I think. I've been playing it around a month now. And it's a huge game. I've been putting around 100 hours in it.
Is it like Grand Theft Auto?
A little bit, but it's not an accurate comparison because, yes, it's a semi-open world, which you have a city or actually a couple of cities or should I say more like districts,
mm-hmm.
which are very, very dense and packed with content because it's Japan and it's very, very packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of mini games, lots of side activities. But on top of that, it has very, very good story.
Cool. Excellent.
Yes, one of the best video game stories I've ever seen. I can say I played through the story and I continued with the side activities after that, and I've been doing them like 3 or 4 days now after I finished.
Cool. So you finished the whole game already?
Not the whole game, but the main you can story? Continue after finishing the story.
Oh, okay.
Like a new game plus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
I kind of like those that have a lot of side quest stuff or a lot of side games that you can play.
Yes, and there are tons. It's funny because some of them are actually kind of functioning games in their self, like like many card games and things like that, and actual Sega arcade games, which because it's a Sega release and Sega series, they have arcades in the city and functioning old school arcade games in there. It's happening in 1988, so there are your Outruns and Space Harriers and things like that, which are actually 100% functioning emulations of the originals.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's kind of neat.
Yes, they have very good attention to detail.
Very cool. And that's available, it looks like, on PlayStation 4.
Yes, it's an exclusive.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, that's one video game. What else is going on?
A little bit of comics.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say manga, because it's an old Japanese comic called The Path of the Assassin.
Mm, okay.
It's from the makers of Lone Wolf and Cub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that 70s, early 80s style thing, and very realistic, and not like of manga, not like of modern manga at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's a story of Hattori Hanzo, who is a semi-real historical person,
right?
Who served in the army of Ieyasu Tokugawa before he came a shogun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the perspective of Hattori Hanzo, and it's a kind of a tale from the eyes of the spy or of ninja, if you like to say that. And it's really interesting. It's much like a Lone Wolf and Cub in art style and storytelling, but it's a different thing in the sense that's semi historical.
Ah, cool. And this is Path of the Assassin, right? I want to make sure I'm
showing
the right graphic here.
Yes, exactly that. The Hanzonomon.
Okay. Yep. That's the one I'm showing. Yes. I'm showing the right stuff.
Yes.
Cool.
It's very good. It's highly recommended, but it's also very adult. Lots of realistic violence and lots of sexual themes.
Cool. Very nice. Well, Jarmo, I want to thank you for calling in this week. And
yes, thank you.
And continue to listen.
Yes, have a good one.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Just missed adding someone into that call, so you can call back, 785-727-1939. If I don't get you the first time, just keep calling back, and we will get you on eventually into the show. So someone had said something about the new Batman director. Matt Reeves was tapped, finally confirmed. I know several people had talked about talks had broken down between him and Warner Brothers, but it looks like they were able to reach an agreement, and Matt Reeves is officially on board as the new Batman director. Matt Reeves, many of you may know from the Planet of the Apes movie that he did, the last Planet of the Apes movie that came out, and he's also doing War on the Planet of the Apes, which is coming out soon this summer or something like that. He is also the person responsible for the directing the Cloverfield movie. So there you go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Steven, it's Nate. How are you, sir?
Hey, Nate, how are you doing on this this Friday?
That's pretty good, actually. Not too bad today.
I saw your daughter had gone to Washington, D.C. That was a big event from a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. She had a blast. It's basically 5 days nonstop of just them, maybe 3 hours of sleep, possibly. So I'm figuring out that this isn't a trip that is like done a lot of places. So our safety patrols, 5th or 6th grade,
mm-hmm.
will every year goes to Washington, D.C. as a trip, as a leadership or citizen type thing because of their a safety patrol type thing.
Right.
So we, or our county still does the Amtrak train.
Oh, cool.
Just for nostalgia purposes, but also for safety, because the only people on that train are the patrol people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that's associated with the organization is on that train.
Oh, neat.
Once they get up to DC, once they get to DC, they actually park the C's. They get everyone off the train and into the tour buses right away the next morning. So bam, they're going. Then they go to the hotel. They sleep. Next morning, they wake up. They go, come back to the hotel. They sleep. And they're in these really big, big tour buses throughout the city.
Yeah.
So she actually, the coolest thing, and I didn't get to go, but I don't even think it's open yet, is they actually got to go to the African American Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's opening up.
Yeah.
So they got special permission to go to see that. So that
that's neat. That's neat. Yeah. And so that was sounds like a fun trip. And this is, do parents go as the chaperones too?
No parents are allowed to go.
Ooh.
It's only school board or like firefighters, paramedics and nursing staff people for that specific trip. So
it's the
school board administrators and teachers. That's the only people that are allowed to go. And it's for safety and legal reasons because mm-hmm. I mean, technically you're out of the county state
sure.
of the control of that volunteer criteria type thing. So but everyone has a good time. I remember going when I was a kid too. So it's fun.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like it was a good experience for her. What else is going on?
Well, besides we're purple skies down here.
I saw that. What was that? Was that just some weird thing at night? Was that a dusk thing or
no,
was
that was a sunrise. That was that.
Wow.
It was morning. I was walking the dogs. I looked up. I'm like, oh wait. And I was trying to figure out what it meant. And so I read a couple of things and supposedly it meant like there's big storms on the way. And actually we had a little storm come through the next morning. So, or the next day, but I thought it was kind of weird because I've seen red and amber and,
mm-hmm.
and, the orange skies and you know, weird blue,
right.
but never that type of shade of violet or purple before. So,
wow. Yeah, that was pretty weird. We do that thing here where, you know, red sky in the morning, sailor take warning, red sky at night, sailor delight. And so, you know, my oldest knows about this. And so in the morning, he'll say, is this a red sky? And I'm like, nah, more of an orangey sky. And then on mornings when we do have a red sky, it's like, okay, let's check and see if we're actually going to have any bad weather in the next 24 hours or anything like that. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's not, you know, that's more of a coastal thing, I think.
Yes.
But, so it doesn't necessarily work here, but there are some interesting, Midwestern storm things that you can take, advantage of, maybe not in Florida because you have zero elevation in Florida, but, here, if, and I've noticed this and it is accurate 100% of the time. If you see like a herd of cows lying down on a hill, like right before the crest of the hill, if they're all like lying down on the hill, means there's a big storm coming within the next 2 hours. And sure enough, a storm will always blow through within 2 hours if you see those cows lying on a hill like that. So there's something to be said about some of those old wives' tales or farmers' tales of predicting weather.
Yeah, and we, you know, me having animals and stuff now too, the dogs or cats mm-hmm. and stuff, you know, they always kind of start acting weird or do
yep.
weird things before a storm happens.
Yep.
And they've always said it's the barometric pressure
mm-hmm.
shifting or changing rapidly that they take, animals are a little more sensitive to that than
yeah.
than humans are. So they are able to pull that out.
What do your cats do? Do your cats act like mine where they suddenly just start running around the house and acting real spasticky?
Well, considering mine's only like 13 weeks old now.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty much spastic all the time.
Yeah.
But no, the dogs will, they will kind of get all weird and kind of just like all tense and like curl up like in a ball.
Oh, okay.
It's more than normal. It's just, just different from the way they're acting.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So, but I've been, went to a cool board game convention last Saturday.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I saw that as well. What was that all about?
They're called FlamingoCon. They try to do, every quarter or at least three times a year. There's this church in downtown, Palm Beach that they rent out the little hall area and they just have everyone come for $10 and play board games. And then they'll get some board games where if you play it, if you play that board game, your name goes into like a drawing to win that board game.
Oh, neat. So what did you end up playing?
Pretty much a lot of stuff I already did. I had my DC Crypts of deck building game I played with some new people.
Mm-hmm.
But I did play Red Dragon Inn.
I've seen that.
That's the one where you basically, there's a ton of people and it's after the event happens. Like you kill the dragon or whatever, you go back to the bar and you drink, you gamble and drink.
Yeah.
So basically third round, we had like 10 people and people had all these cards where we had like four or five people go ahead and give them a one of your gold pieces.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I was
yeah.
down to like five gold pieces and then we did one gambling thing and I was pretty much out. So got booted out of the bar because I had no more money. I was a Catan, played a little Munchkin. That's about it. I got there a little late, but they do it from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So it's a whole 12 hours.
Cool.
It was pretty cool.
Did you win any, any games?
Nah, actually I didn't win any of the games I played. I lost everything. So.
Well,
that's
okay.
Why I'm the statistician.
There you go. Oh, and speaking of statisticians, it looks like up on the Major Spoilers website in the comments section, there are several people that have said that, Steven's interpretation of the rules was correct, that you still have time to play those other cards, even though the card that Rob played was he defeats the monster, the combat is not over. And so,
yes, because technically, but the funny thing is his card does say that monster is defeated or
right,
done.
Right.
So technically, if he had another monster or he would, there's a weird gray area there, but there was one person, I did read those.
Yeah.
And one person made that point where technically combat wasn't over, just the monster was defeated. I'm like, ooh, that's good.
I say asterisk next to that win.
Yeah, it's looking that way. So, actually, speaking of games, there was actually a couple of Kickstarters that came out over the last few weeks that I started funding. One was Munchkin Shakespeare.
Oh yeah, yeah, I funded that as well. That one is funded within the first couple of hours, and I don't know if you funded within. If you funded within the first 24 hours,
24.
Okay.
Yeah, you get a free bookmark. Yeah.
Yeah. That one looks interesting.
Ben, actually, Kovalik is supposed to be having some type of live stream or something at 5 o'clock. Eastern.
Oh, today?
Or no, five. Yeah, today they're actually supposed to be doing something. 5 o'clock central. Sorry, 5 o'clock central.
Oh, okay. So we still have time. I don't have to shut this stream down early.
But they're doing like a Q&A, and he's doing a whole bunch of stuff, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then another one that was me, I've been like really crazy on since I'm not like spending money on comics, I'm actually funding stuff now. This one called GKR, Giant Killer Robots Heavy Hitters. Basically, it's you have these large, you're a global corporation. Going into a territory or a city and claiming the city as scrap. So
oh, cool.
You're like fighting over buildings and stuff and sponsorships and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you know, your pilots are like superstars and stuff like that. And you have to go and run and try to destroy buildings, but also attack the other people. And you have these big mechs and stuff. And the game board is three dimensional.
Oh, neat.
So you have a basically, it's not a deck building game, but it's card driven.
Mm-hmm.
But your moves and stuff, you have like three or four phases, and everyone sets everything up. Everything, you have your attack phases, and then you have your clean phase, and you reset everything, and then you go again. And then if you can destroy four buildings and scrap them, then you win the game.
Wow, that sounds very interesting.
There's like two or three other ways to win the game. So
yeah, that sounds really cool. Let me ask you about this Munchkin Shakespeare, because it's something that I wanted to talk about at some point. But, you know, Steve Jackson Games is, I don't know how they're doing financially, but they're pretty solid when it comes to, they have a new Munchkin game out. It generally sells really well and everything's good. Then they come along and say, hey, we've got this Munchkin Shakespeare game coming out. We don't know how good it's going to do. So maybe what we'll do is go to Kickstarter and see if there's interest in this from the Kickstarter community. And then we'll, if it succeeds, then we'll release the game.
Right.
It just seems a little odd to me, considering that Munchkin is a known property. Munchkin sells, and yet they kind of went with Kickstarter anyway. It kind of feels like they're using Kickstarter as kind of like a pre-order system, and only a pre-order system. It just seems odd to me.
And it was too, because I always thought that it was weird that, you know, a company that, you know, that technically that big was going on Kickstarter. Now, I did read a lot of behind of what they did and how they did it. And basically, I don't know if you did or not, but they had a retreat or seminar or something
mm-hmm.
about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, they actually went out to the crowd and said, what do you want as a game? What Munchkin type game do you want us to create?
Right.
So their theory, which I don't know how much to believe, is that since this was crowd, this idea was crowdsourced, that the whole game should be crowdsourced as well.
That's what they had posted at the beginning of the month
yeah.
on the Daily Illuminator site, where they basically, exactly like you said, they had
yeah.
enough people, or they had enough kickback basically at that event. They basically had all the cards that they needed that were crowdsourced by those people, and so they decided to go to Kickstarter for it. I just think that it's a little, I don't know. I think it just seems a little weird. As someone in the chat says, I'm not okay. I'm kind of not okay with an established company using Kickstarter this way. I don't know. If this were something completely different, if this were them saying, hey, we've created a new game, we don't know how it's going to work. It's, you know, it has nothing to do with any of our other properties, and we want to kickstart that, I would be okay that way. But Munchkin, the card game, I mean, that's an established thing. You know it's going to sell.
Yeah, and especially with Shakespeare and all the brainiacs and just the funny quips and mm-hmm. everything that they can do with it. Yeah, mm-hmm. it kind of seems kind of funny to me. And then I guess they have a different type of... I don't know. Like I said, I backed it, but and honestly, the price for it too, with all the expansions and everything
yeah.
they're doing, maybe that's how they wanted to do it, to throw a whole bunch of just craziness in there. But now, I don't know how big Cryptozoic is, but you know, they did both their Ghostbusters games
yes.
through Kickstarter.
Yes. Cryptozoic, so, I think I think it appears to me that they are smaller. And the Ghostbusters game
right.
was something that had not been really done before. So for them, going from a card game to something that has a lot more pieces, a lot more
right.
Cost being sunk into it, I can see for the first game going with the Kickstarter. The second game, I still don't have it in my hands yet. And I'm not sure that was the best way to go for that second game.
Yeah.
Because the first game sold very, very well.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it sold enough to where, I mean, the retailers were picking, you know, I was able to buy one last two Christmases ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, when I saw the second one come out, I'm like, oh, this is really cool because it has a whole bunch of different things and they have different add-on attachments and everything like that. So it does kind of feel weird. But then again, it goes back to that motto with a lot of some of the comic book industries and stuff you guys just talked about before. When you have a property that you want to expand upon, but you want to make sure that there's 100% buy-in before you create the product to lose no money, this is the best way to do it. And maybe that's how they're doing it and spinning it, saying, hey, listen, since you guys kind of crowd-ideaed this, we're going to crowdsource this. I'm letting you guys, you know, sky's the limit. We're not going to – the limitation of what you guys are going to get for this product is – as much as you guys are going to spend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it does sound like it's a safety net thing where, listen, this is a cool idea and this is really cool and we probably will be able to sell a whole bunch of it, but let's go ahead and do all this Kickstarter stuff as add-ons and then go ahead and do it as a retail as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That may be it. I have one other maybe idea why a company like Steve Jackson Games might be going this direction. Now, Jarmo says Steve Jackson Games has been around for over 20 years. It can't be a shoestring budget company. You might think that, but, a couple of really bad sales. And if you go into their Illuminator archives like 5 years ago, right around the same time or right before Munchkinland started as our podcast, They were actually going through some difficult times. They go in and talk about how they lost money and some other things. You can go in and read their yearly reports. But I think that maybe Hastings may have an impact in some of these gaming companies. Now, Hastings, again, for those people who don't know, Hastings is a regional music, books, video games, and more kind of store that shut down in October of last year. And one of the things that they had were Funko toys, Hasbro toys, Lego toys, games, comic books, all this kind of stuff. And when they went out of business, there were millions of dollars lost. And one of the things that our Hastings carried a lot were Fantasy Flight games, Steve Jackson games, Hasbro, Mattel type games. And if you look at just what they owe Hasbro, when they closed out, they owed them $347,000. They owed Funko something in the lines of $2.5 million. So somewhere in there, if you've got, now this is the, here's the full complaint. You can see it here on the Major Spoilers website. In that full complaint, they go in and break down how much is owed to who. And I would have to go in there and see if there's Steve Jackson Games or somebody like that is listed here. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're, Steve Jackson Games was owed quite a bit of money, that could impact their bottom line and their ability to produce something new. And maybe that is another reason why they go to Kickstarter. I would have to dig into this court document to see what the total amounts were. But it wouldn't surprise me if SJ Games is in there somewhere.
That actually makes a lot of sense, too, because I know my weekly gaming night on Sundays, one of the guys, the Barnes & Noble here, was, mm-hmm. I think they were trying to clear out their gaming stuff. So I don't know if
that's
they're not going, go, not going to house those gaming games and stuff, because mm-hmm. they have a ton. I mean, they got every Munchkin there. They have all this other stuff.
Yeah, I'm going through. I don't see Steve Jackson Games listed specifically in this document. So,
and then they, I know that they've been trying to do a lot more, like Walmart and mm-hmm. Target mm-hmm. And exclusives and stuff that way, trying mm-hmm. to get, I don't know, buzz or feed or whatever. But yeah, I think you might be onto something there, where because of a massive loss, they don't want to take another one off of a mm-hmm. starter project that may or may not fly well.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I mean, that's all speculation on my part. Total speculation. There may not be an ounce of truth to it, but if I were to say what would be reasons why you would see a company like Steve Jackson Games go to Kickstarter, it might be purely financial because of them getting screwed by other companies that used to carry their games but are now not, or that are completely out of business and they've lost stock or lost money or whatever in those deals. Odd that, like, even Barnes & Noble or Borders or whoever would also be trying to dump a bunch of board game type stuff, because right now is really kind of the best time in the world to be playing board games. I mean, they're more popular than ever. And unless people are flocking to friendly local gaming stores, which, you know, we have kind of one here, being able to access cool games, I think right now is vital. It's better than, you know, Monopoly.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, it is.
Or Checkers or whatever that Walmart currently stocks. So.
So that last thing on Kickstarter, and we're bringing up our your buddy Mark Finn again, is mm-hmm. that he's doing something with chicken. It's called Chicken Fried Cthulhu.
Oh, right, right.
It's a South a Texan flair on some of the Cthulhu mythos. And I guess he lost or hope. Oh, I can't remember. But basically, one of the towns is going to be in there as well. That they created for, I guess, one of Robert E. Howard's books when mm-hmm. he did some stuff with Lovecraft.
Neat.
So, yeah.
So this is just a series of stories, or this is a game, or what is this?
It's an anthology.
Okay.
It's an anthology of, it says right there. Of stuff. And I guess he's editing it. I don't know if he's actually writing something in or whatever, but, you know, I anything the guy touches, I think, is pretty good. So I went in on it. So. It looks really cool. Plus, it's Cthulhu. Who doesn't like Cthulhu?
Who does not like Cthulhu? That is a good question. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm going to have to. It's got 19 days to go. They've got. They need $15,000 on that one, and they're in about a fifth of the way there. So, I will back that project potentially later.
So, but other than that, everything else is going good. It's a nice balmy 81 degrees here down in South Florida, and
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
It's warmed up. It's now 35 degrees.
Hey, now you can go outside.
Yep.
You won't freeze.
Yep. All right, Nate, thanks for calling in. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steven. Bye.
Bye. Here we go. Jarmo is saying Steve Jackson Games. What does that say? $8.8 million gross in 2013 was the most recent I found through Google Foo. So there you go. 43 employees listed, so not as big as I thought. But not tiny either. No, if you've got a company that has 43 employees, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I'd love to have 43 employees at Major Spoilers and be able to hire more people full time. And, of course, I'm preaching to the choir for most of you, but you can head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and sign up and become a patron and show your support and your growth. And, you know, if we were to hit, I would say if we were to hit our... not our next goal, but if we were to hit our $7,500 goal or higher, I would bet that we would be able to hire another person as a full-time employee, or at least get them in at better prices than their wages that they're getting now. We got 183 patrons right now, which is awesome. And more people are signing up every day. We are getting so much closer to our Why Do You Hate Me goal. That Matthew will write reviews of comics that he finds horrible and deplorable, all because you hate him. 9 million smackers. They do not belong in Kickstarter, says Nicholas. In regard, and of course, that's gross. I don't know if that does not count. Gross is not net profit. So you do have to take into account everything that they manufactured, shipped, all their costs. But with 43 employees, I'm going to bet that a large portion of that $8.8 million is being used for employee costs. So they may be on a shorter budget than we think. I don't know. Every time I speak about Steve Jackson Games, I get an angry email from them saying one thing or another. And I, like I said, I'm just speculating. I don't need an angry email from Steve Jackson Games. I don't know why they're always angry at us. We do nothing but promote their stuff. So who knows? Where are we at? We've got a few more minutes left. If you would like to give us a call, 785-727-1939. Love to hear from you. Or if you are on Skype, it's Steven_Schleicher. Love having a lot of people in the chat room. you know, I know sometimes, you know, if you're watching the feed roll by, some people pop in and say some not so nice things. I guess that's what you have to deal with when you're online. But really, to just pop in and troll and say something not kind to everyone in the chat room. Not cool, dude. Not cool. Let's see. Do. I don't see anything else that's there in the chat that pops up immediately. So there we go. So we were talking about Batman, talking about Matt Reeves. That deal is done. The other thing that Warner Brothers announced that I think is kind of cool is that they are in the early stages of working on a Nightwing movie, right? So that's kind of neat. I think that's cool that we might see a Nightwing movie. Currently, they are in talks with the Lego Batman director Chris McKay to possibly direct the Nightwing movie. And they have Bill Dubuque, I don't know how you say his last name, who wrote The Accountant, is writing the Nightwing script. Obviously, no stars are attached. There's no release date. Obviously, we have a Flash movie that is supposed to be coming out that is in utter chaos. I think they just rehired a new director, but I think that director wants rewrites. So that's been quietly moved back off the release date charts. We have an Aquaman movie that's supposed to be coming out. We have a Cyborg movie that's supposed to be coming out. And now we have a Nightwing movie that I don't think if it even gets their stuff together anytime soon, we're not going to see it before 2020. But it does bring up an interesting question that I asked on Major Spoilers this week. Does it make sense to have a Nightwing movie before you even have Robin inside of a movie? Right? Because Nightwing comes out of Dick Grayson, or Nightwing is Dick Grayson, and Dick Grayson used to be Robin, but then when he grew up and he wanted to step away from the shadow of the Bat, he took on the mantle of Nightwing, paying some homage to Superman and the tales of Nightwing and Flamebird in the city of Kandor. So he took on the Nightwing mantle and he made it his own, and he's his own hero now, and everybody loves Nightwing. Dick Grayson continues to sell very, very well for DC Comics, even though Dan DiDio had threatened to kill the character off years ago. The character still persists. But I wonder, can you have, or does it make sense to have a Nightwing movie before you even have Robin in one of your main movies? Now, we did kind of get a little hint of Robin in Batman v Superman, where we're in the Batcave and we see the Robin suit that's all been graffitied, vandalized by the Joker, where it says, ha, 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 all those kinds of things. It gives the implication that Robin was killed, in which case, how do you get a Nightwing if your Robin is killed? I mean, a Red Hood, I could see that. But that's a little odd. Maybe Warner Brothers doesn't care. Maybe they're just like, here's another hero. Maybe he trained and you never saw that movie with him and Batman in it. That's a little odd. Let's see. I have one person who says that does not make any sense. Would love a Nightwing, says green quality. Would love a Nightwing movie and the return of the Dick Pick memes. Dick Grayson, yes, haha. Let's see. Matthew says, yes, they did. I'm not sure what you mean by yes, they did. Warner seems to be doing too much with too little what to do. Matthew says, no, they should have a whole Bat Family movie first. Jarmar also says, this reeks of panic mode. I don't know if this reeks of panic mode, but if you can move away from, and historically Nightwing, Dick Grayson, is a happier character, if you could move away from a dark and brooding Batman into a Batman who's a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more positive, if you could take that entire, what was the first arc of Nightwing called? The Night of Bloodhaven or something like that. You could certainly tell that story, and that might be interesting. It might be interesting to tell the entire arc of Dick moving to Bloodhaven, becoming a police officer while still doing Nightwing things at night, meeting up with the Tarantula and fighting Blockbuster, and then the ultimate conflict ending. I wouldn't say it's a resolution, but the ending between Tarantula, Blockbuster, and Nightwing could be really, really interesting in a movie. I think it would be great. But I just wonder if someone would go, oh, now we've got a Nightwing movie. What's a Nightwing? I think it needs to be introduced in another way. Change directors on the Batman movie. Yes, there was a change in the directors on the Batman movie, Matt Reeves. We talked about that earlier. I don't know if you are saying, Matthew, that we don't need Matt Reeves as the new Batman director. I don't know. I think it's interesting. He certainly, when you look at the Planet of the Apes movies, there's certainly a balance between drama and conflict and, you know, a lot of action. And certainly when you look at a Batman movie, it's going to have a lot of drama and conflict and action. So he might be able to do fine with that. And he did do Cloverfield, although I doubt we would see a found footage Batman movie, although that might be kind of interesting. The question is, would Nightwing work better as a TV show Gotham style? I think Batman would work better as an HBO series, to be honest with you. If you go back into, and I've in the archives and many of the Batman reviews that I've written over the years, I point out several arcs and episodes or issues that would make great episodes of a standalone series. I think Gotham City PD, not Gotham, because that's gone in a totally weird direction. But I think if they could take GCPD and adapt that into an HBO series, I think that would work really well. So yes, I think you could take any superhero show that you would pitch as a movie. You could definitely turn that into a television series. I mean, look what they're doing with Black Lightning, which I have a lot of high hopes for. I'm kind of excited about that, providing that his hair and his domino mask aren't the same thing, because that's really lame, and I don't care what anyone says. That's really a lame costume. But yeah, I mean, Nightwing could work as a TV series. Could work as a really good movie if they do it right. But my biggest fear right now is a Nightwing movie would look like a Batman light movie. Like, oh, this is just another Batman, just like Deadshot in Suicide Squad is just another Batman type character. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But I mean, just because they've announced that they have plans to put Nightwing on the big screen does not mean that those plans will fully pan out. And really seriously, the earliest I think we're going to see it is 2020, if it even comes then. I would have maybe even expect a 2021 release date for that. All right, I think we will wrap it up there this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and downloading and listening and checking us out. Love it having regular callers call in. But in the future, remember, we try to do this every week. Sorry about last week. We try to do this every week. We will be back again next week if my calendar says the correct information. And I would love to have new callers come in to share their thoughts about anything that's going on in pop culture. Could be comic books, could be movies, could be games, video games, whatever it may be. Love hearing your thoughts, your ideas, your complaints, your reactions. And it's a great way to start the weekend. It's a great way to blow off steam, especially if you've been frustrated by things that are going on in the world all of this week. So, until next time, be awesome to one another, be cool to one another, and treat everyone with respect and kindness and love, and we'll all be back together again when it's finally Friday. Take care, everyone.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.